This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. It's been more than a decade since a little-known dark-eyed owl was listed as threatened, and millions of acres of forest were shut down to logging in the Pacific Northwest. Now well-known, the northern spotted owl is synonymous with lost livelihoods and for many in the timber industry, all that's wrong with the Endangered Species Act. In our series marking the 30th anniversary of the act, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold has the first of two reports on how the owl and the timber towns have fared.
Forks, Washington. A sign on a cross-section of a giant Sitka spruce tree boasts that this town, in the heart of the Olympic Peninsula, is the logging capital of the world. But from the neat stacks of firewood and chainsaw art displayed for sale in every front yard, it appears loggers here have a lot of time on their hands. A reluctant 10 years of transition from timber to tourist town is in the faces here and in what's missing from the 4th of July parade.
We used to have truck after truck of beautiful logs. That used to be our heritage here. We still have timber, but it's not being logged like it has been in the past.
Men who made their living in the woods now take home paychecks from the prison where they work as guards. And the jagged edges of yesterday's clear cuts, once so visible from town, have long since greened up, a constant reminder that the chainsaws are now quiet.
I can remember a time when you would have to wait to cross Main Street in Forks for a line of log trucks hauling timber resources out of this community. I can remember those years.
Mayor Nedra Reed was here through it all, from the listing of the owl and creation of the Northwest Forest Plan, which led to the eventual shutdown of 2.4 million acres of forest in Washington alone to logging. But with a sigh, she says Forks has gotten over it.
Well, we don't see any, the signs that used to say, I like spotted owl baked, boiled, or fried, those aren't here anymore. I think we've gotten to a point where we just had to say, okay, let's move on.
But when asked about lessons learned, Mayor Reed says she's still puzzled by a law that puts plants and animals before people.
I mean, I'm sorry, but somewhere along the line, the human impact and the value of what that's created has to be looked at. We may not be able to save every single snail darter or whatever. We may not be able to do that. And if we can't, that's unfortunate. But you know what? We need to save the families.
There were promises of retraining and loan programs, but families who knew only logging left town. Forest-related jobs in the region declined by nearly 25%. In a tiny home office just across the street from City Hall, Mary Howell runs a bookkeeping business.
At one point, we were the only house on this whole block not for sale. My husband and I have survived, but I'm not so sure everyone else has.
Howell's business no longer relies on the timber industry. Her husband, a former logger, now walks the woods for the fisheries department. But she says they both still resent that outsiders, the government, environmentalists, and others, decide what's best for the forest.
They see the Olympic Peninsula as their backyard, where we see it as a crop, and we want to farm it like a crop. They don't want us messing around because they've already ruined the East Coast. They've already ruined Seattle, so they're going to reserve and preserve us at the expense of us.
This is still the prevalent attitude here in Forks, but some economists say hard times for timber towns were inevitable. Demand was dropping, mills were modernizing, and the industry was shifting overseas. Ernie Niemi, an economist with Eco Northwest, has been studying job losses related to the spotted owl's listing.
Most generally, we've learned that the sky did not fall.
Even more importantly, Niemi says, timber towns like Forks found that the industry was not as reliable an economic base than was thought.
Ironically, the fear was that if we did not log, the economy would collapse. What we found is that by not logging, we facilitated our ability to attract people that can make this economy productive.
Although in the 90s, forest jobs declined by as much as 30,000 in the Pacific Northwest, the region was also experiencing a boom, with an increase of 1 million new jobs, mostly in the high-tech industry. Populations were shifting from urban centers to smaller towns, like Forks. Rod Fleck is an example. A professional seeking quality of life in a more rural setting, he left Seattle to take a job as Forks city attorney. He points to a new fiber optic network and a school funded by Bill Gates with a high-tech curriculum as the kind of change that's occurred since he arrived.
We're surviving. I wish I could say, you know, we were growing by leaps and bounds, which is, I think, more than some folks were where I'd come from in Seattle and told folks where I was going. They figured, oh, no, there's not going to be much of that community left. And the positives are we became much more proactive and didn't take anything for granted anymore.
Like a guaranteed timber harvest. And some in the timber industry were proactive as well. Those who realized the steady stream of big logs off the federal forest was about to end.
We would have been out of business.
Jerry Lane has worked for Allen Logging for 33 years. Just outside his trailer of an office, the arm of a crane methodically swings logs from trucks onto a conveyor belt. This company survived by retooling to process younger timber coming off private land. These small-diameter trees are turned into kiln-dried studs, 2x4s and 2x6s. The rest is chipped for pulp. Lane bears no animosity toward the spotted owl. He jokes everyone should have one. He says change was inevitable, and surprisingly, he too says logging was on a course that couldn't continue.
So, you know, there's good that certainly come out of it. And maybe a lot of the movement was created by some of the excesses in the industry. I don't know. But it's like a big pendulum, and it sure went too far in one direction, and I'm sure going to be glad when it swings back the other way for a while.
The boom years may never return to this corner of the Pacific Northwest, at least not in the timber industry. But Forks is becoming somewhat of a tourist destination because of its proximity to a national park, beaches, and good fishing. Diane Shostak is the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, which retooled as well over the last 10 years.
In the early 90s, we saw a lot of people coming in that were just mad. They'd see clear cuts along the road, and they'd come in, and they'd stomp their feet, and they'd plant themselves, and they'd say, "What have you done to my trees?" And, you know, we were kind of at a loss to, you know, I mean, where do you start with a question like that? Well, we're working on it.
Instead, Shostak, who with her husband used to run a logging business, organized a forest tour. And today, some 1,000 visitors a year get a firsthand look at old clear cuts and the mill out the road, guided by former loggers.
People love those tours.
Shostak is also the force behind some 20,000 visitor guides that are sent out each year to draw people to town. Her husband now works at the prison, and she says they're both more secure and have an easier, if not better, life than before.
Those were very stressful times. They were real scary times for a lot of us, and we knew all along that we needed to be dependent on something besides timber. You know, we knew that, but the catalyst was that decision that the spotted owl was endangered was the driver behind that change. Mm-hmm. But I think we are a better community. Things happen the way they're supposed to, I think.
No effigy of the spotted owl was burned at this year's 4th of July parade, and the storefronts on Main Street aren't boarded up. And it seems there's more optimism than resentment in Forks, even though there are no longer signs in every front yard that say, "This family supported by timber dollars." Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Forks, Washington.
Tomorrow, why the owl has fared worse than the town. Photos of the bird and a recording of its call are at npr.org.